this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
I'd like us this evening to think a little bit about the houses we're staying in, or maybe more importantly, the house you'd like to stay in. So if you want to just turn in your groups again as you were praying now, or maybe if you don't really like the person you prayed with, you can turn the other side. And just in groups of about three or four, just take a couple of moments and maybe share around. If you had to think of your dream house, if you could pick any place in the world to stay in and you could redesign it, custom design, and have it built for you, don't worry about the money, don't worry about where it is, you can have the perfect place that you would love to stay in. Share with one, turn to one another and take a couple of moments and just share about that a little bit. I think there's a question on the screen which will appear if the aliens leave them in the back. Okay. So you can do that maybe just for a couple of moments. I'd like you guys to chat around that for a few moments. So now we've all got our dream home. How many of you had a slippery slide from the swimming pool straight into the jacuzzi or the shower? Built in. Or maybe the slippery slide from the shower straight into the drop-off plunge into the ocean with a dolphin pool waiting at the bottom. Scripture has a lot to say about the house of God, about the place where He dwells. And I think we understand that it's not so much a building, although there's a physical. One of those weird things about God, God's omnipresent. He's everywhere all at the same time, filling the whole of the universe. But at the same time, in the Old Testament, He was very clearly dwelling, living in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. And then He manifests Himself and He came and He dwelt in a box called the Ark of the Covenant. And would represent His physical presence. And that would be held within the first tabernacle of Moses, later on the tabernacle of David, and the temple that Solomon built. Then in the New Testament, we realize, and Scripture says that Christ, this omnipotent, omnipresent God who fills everything all in all, comes and lives inside of us. He lives inside of you and He lives inside of me, and He makes His home on the inside. It's one of those things, I don't think we'll ever get that this side of eternity, but this huge God comes and lives in you and He comes and lives in me. And on, just sort of on that point, my daughter in the last week or so was at home and I wasn't. I can't remember, doing something the evening, and my wife was putting her in bed. She's got, like yesterday she was carrying out all her Bibles because she's but like a dad, she's a Bible addict. So she's carrying around like all six of her Bibles around the house, and she wants to steal her sister's Bibles as well and try to teach her that, you know, you're not meant to steal Bibles. But so she's in bed and she opens the Bible and she says, translating now, "Mommy, Jesus lives in the Bible." And my wife sees the gap and she says, "No, he lives in Mommy's heart and He lives in Daddy's heart. And if you want to, you can invite Him and He'll come and live in your heart too." And she's, "No, He must stay in the Bible." So, my wife shares, they read kind of one or two more of the Bible stories. And she knows the Bible stories and she knows which one she likes. And some of them, it's weird. You'll kind of, a new Bible that she hasn't read, she'll read the, you'll look, start like the first half of the sentence of the stories of what about to happen. She says, "No, it's not a nice story." You haven't even like said the first two words yet. She doesn't like that story for some reason. And she finds another story that she likes and tells her the story. So my wife's praying with her. And then just as my wife was about to sort of pray with her and then put her to bed, she said, "Don't you want her to come and, don't you want to ask Jesus, you really not want them to come live in your heart. Apparently she got up and she started giggling and laughing. And she sitting up straight in the bed. Oh, but first, sorry, important to rewind a little bit because I think it's cute. When my wife said, Jesus, woon in mama's heart, my daughter sat up straight and said, Wil sien? You know? And my wife's like, no, you can't see. He lives on the inside, and kind of trying to explain it to her. And then, so now at the end, my wife's like, don't you want to ask Jesus to come and live with you again? She sits up and she starts giggling. She's like, start hitting herself on her chest. I'm not going to do it because it's not going to sound good. Like orangutan, you know. And she's, Jesus, come woon by my Jesus, come woon in my heart, come woon in my heart. Jesus, come live in my heart, come live in my heart. And then the next morning, I obviously heard the story. And the next morning, she woke up. I went to her and she walks into the kitchen. And I said to her, where does Jesus stay? And she pulls her shirt down and she says, in my heart. And one of those beautiful things that God comes and he dwells with us. But I think it's important as well for us to ask the flip side of the question in terms of what does Scripture have to say about where we dwell. In John 14:2, we have this beautiful picture. In my Father's house are many mansions, Jesus speaking. If it were not so, I would have told you. And that phrase, I don't know if it's ever confused you as much as it confuses me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I think it should say, if it were not so, I wouldn't have told you. Because I don't know what they were thinking. So maybe they're thinking already there are lots of mansions, and Jesus saying, yes, there are lots of mansions. If there wasn't, I would have told you, whatever the point. That's totally irrelevant. Just freaks me out. But anyway, I go to prepare a place for you. One of the beautiful pictures that Scripture has for us that right now, Jesus is up in heaven, and you know what he's doing? He's preparing a place for you, and he's preparing a place for me. He's preparing a place for his bride. A little bit like when a newborn baby gets born. And you guys remember the little baby Eben that we've been praying for? He's doing super well. For those of you who have any following on Facebook, he's off oxygen totally now. Just gets a couple of doses from time to time when he's sleeping, but he doesn't have the oxygen machine running 24/7. God's just doing incredible work in his life. And we're starting with morning services on the 6th of October. Again, 9:30, we'll have morning services. And if any of you want to join us, we're going to be dedicating Eben on the 6th of October as well. So it's going to be really cool, just a great time of celebrating the amazing work God has done in that baby's life. But that little baby, you know when a little baby gets born? You wouldn't yet, but you will one day. And you take this little kid, and from the moment that parents find out they're pregnant, one of the first things you start thinking is, where's this baby going to sleep? We start preparing a place for this baby. Paint the walls lavender and put little pictures everywhere and make it all a little beautiful so the baby can feel home. Because otherwise the baby's going to come home and he's not going to feel at home and he's going to climb out his cot and go find a different house somewhere else because he realizes all of this incredible stuff that he put around him. He can see it all. They just sense it. They know that's exactly what they ordered. So we do all of that kind of just to make sure our babies really feel at home. And you're going to realize that when you take that little newborn baby and you put it in the car to drive home, suddenly every other driver on the road is a maniac. They should all just get off the road. They're speeding. They're not watching where they're driving. It's like suddenly people have forgotten how to drive when you've got your little infant in the car with you. But you prepare that place for that baby. That right now is what God's doing. And that's a dream that should be in all of our heart, that a hope of this place that Christ has prepared and is preparing for us. We see that same idea in Hebrews 11. It's the chapter of the Hall of Fame. You've got all these great men and women of God. Scripture speaks about people who've done amazing stuff for God. And then it says they all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, they were still assured of them. They embraced them and they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind the country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Watch this beautiful bit. For he has prepared a city for them. Jesus says, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. Maybe he's not saying, I'm preparing a room within a mansion. I'm preparing a city full of mansions. I just love the fact that God's up there in heaven and he's so expectant about our coming. You know, one of the great prayers that we, you and I should be praying is, Jesus, I want to die. Because we all want to go to heaven, but there's a little transition problem that we've got to deal with. We all want to go to heaven, but none of us want to die. And you know, there are two ways to get to heaven. The one is dying and Jesus coming and fetching us and taking us to heaven. And the other one is Jesus coming before we die and taking us and fetching us and taking us to heaven. So either we're dying and it should be just a dream in our heart. Jesus, as much as I love this earth, I actually really want to be there. Maranatha is how the early church would greet one another. Our Lord Jesus, come. Jesus, don't you want to come and, you know, it's great and it's nice, but come and save us from this mess and take us to the home, the place that you've prepared. There should be that eternal hope in all of our hearts that Christ is preparing a place for us. But in the same way as he's preparing a place for us in heaven, we're not in heaven yet. And I want us to read a couple of beautiful psalms and just spend a little bit of time around these. Psalm 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Let's pause there. I believe that such an invitation from Christ, inviting us to say, come and dwell in my secret place. All of us thinking of this beautiful place that we'd love to stay in, the home that we'd love to build with ourselves for ourselves. If we could design any place, what are the things that we're going to design in there? And obviously, it's all natural and there's nothing wrong with that as such. There should be something in the midst below all of that saying, you know, as much as I want to live in this house or that house with this nice feature and the kitchen must look like this and the dining room must have this and that, whatever it may be, more than all of that, it's not the house that I want to live in. It's a secret place that I want to live in. I want to dwell. I want to have a place of safety that I dwell in. A place in which I can go to and, you know, not necessarily a physical place. You know, if I had to design my dream house, you know, one of the things I'd love, just a place that's air conditioned and the temperature's just right and there's a nice comfortable couch but not too comfortable and it's, what do you call it? You can't hear anything. Soundproofed all around. So you can go in there at 6 o'clock in the morning and it's not cold and freezing and then you just nice and you can just lock yourself out from everything else. Just be with God. But it's not about that physical place. Wherever it is, wherever physically we may be, there's this place in the spirit that God's calling us to and he says, I want you to move in with me. I want you to come and dwell here. Not just visit from time to time. Make this your home. Make the secret place where you meet with me, where you lock everything else out, you pause everything else of the world, you pause all of that and you come and dwell with me. The reason I'm speaking about this tonight is just one of those things that at night, when I lie awake at night and think about church and, you know, all of you guys and your faces and pray for all of you and wonder what's going on. One of the things that just stirs in my heart so often is we've got amazing people in this church. We've got amazing people who God's called to do amazing things. You know, Daniel 11:32, the B part of the verse, the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. Now, I know God's placed that in so many of our hearts, and some of you are beginning to do it, and just great seeing how you're flourishing as we're following God, and we've got vision and purpose coming out of our ears, and we talk about that all day, and you know, it's right, and we should. But it's so important for us to understand that none of that means anything if it's not coming out of a place of intimacy with God first. You know, in the midst of all of our vision and our schedules and the busyness and all of the 20 things we have to do, if we have to whittle it down to 19, you know, the first thing that goes is this for most of us. The first thing that we cut down is I'll spend time with God a little bit later. I just sensed God just calling us, just inviting us, just saying, just come and dwell here again. Don't throw that other stuff out. Don't forget about it. Don't ignore it. Just switch it off for a while and spend time with me. It's going to place perspective on the rest. It's obviously something we speak about a lot and something we need to speak about a lot. I love this story. One of the previous century church, we've got more aliens coming from my left. They're all over the place tonight. I'm thinking of the joke Mezen made on stage just now, and I don't know if I should make it or not. God is here tenwoordig, and the aliens too, you know. Fortunately, God is bigger and better than all of them. But I was thinking about, I think it was John Wesley, I'm not sure exactly, don't know how true it is, wasn't there, maybe you were there 300 years ago, but I wasn't. But I heard the story of, he had an audience with a queen, and his audience was tea time, 10:30 or whatever it may have been. The queen was late, and she had some other engagements to get around to. 12 o'clock, she could see him, and the aides came, and they came to look for this man. He had this appointment with the queen. Eventually, they found him, and they said, listen, the queen's waiting for you. He said, well, I'm busy with the king. She can wait. And I just love that thing that story holds, that for this man, it doesn't matter who it is that wants to interrupt. He's got an appointment at 12 o'clock every day with the king. And it doesn't matter who on this earth comes knocking. It's second to that appointment. Dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. What some of these promises are. I love the promises of God. Some people ask, how do I know that the Old Testament promises are applicable to me today? Well, because Scripture says, in Christ, all of God's promises are yes and amen. But what's also true is the preconditions to those promises still hold. Every promise from God has a precondition. It's not about work. It's not about me doing something. It's about me responding to what God is doing. Even the gift of salvation has got a precondition. Who did Christ die to save? Everybody. Who gets saved? Everyone who accepts it. Is it work? Do I need to do something to earn my salvation? Scripture says clearly I can't. It's a gift of God, not of works. I can't boast in it. I obtain it by faith. How do I obtain it by faith? By accepting it, by receiving it. And so in the same way, every one of God's blessings has a precondition attached to it. Not in a legalistic sense, not I need to work to achieve so that I can get it. That's something which the enemy comes and puts on our shoulders and says, once you've accomplished, then God will smile upon you. No. He's a daddy who loves you just because he's your daddy. You're already accepted. You're already welcome. My daughter is welcome to come and sit on my lap whenever she wants. But you know that means she must walk up to me and come sit on my lap if she wants to sit on my lap. And we need to position ourselves with regards to God's promises. And every one of God's promises has this precondition, and mostly it just has to do with positioning. It just has to do with relating correctly to God. Not doing anything, not doing more, not giving more, not being more. Just being there where the blessing is. And we see exactly that. Look at these beautiful promises in Psalm 91. What is the precondition? Dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. What is the promise? Well, if you dwell, then you will say, he is my refuge and my fortress. Refuge there is the same word translated in other places as dwell. Or dwelling place. It's not a place we run into, we're safe, and we run out of. It's a place where we find safety continually. We're not necessarily there 24/7, but it's a place where I know is home. A place where I can switch off and relax a little bit, and fortress. My God, in him I will trust. Surely he, that's God, will deliver you from the snare of the fowler. Speaks image there of the fowler, somebody who's catching birds and he's got a snare, a trap, in an attempt to catch these birds. Scripture says, those traps that have been laid for you, God will deliver you from those snares, the hidden snares of the enemy that line our path as we follow Christ. And from the perilous pestilence, I tried to explain that in the first service and just confused myself, so I won't go anywhere further. You've got dictionaries. Perilous, dangerous, leads to death. And pestilence is just a pest, something that bugs us. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings he shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and black buckler, and you shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look, and you will see the reward of the wicked. beautiful, beautiful promise that God holds before who? Those who dwell in the secret place of the Most High. I'd encourage you in this week to take Psalm 91, meditate on it, pray through it. Memorize it if you can. Spend time, take a couple of verses, the 16 verses, take 2.5 verses a day, or 2 verses one day, 3 verses tomorrow. Memorize them. Meditate on them through the day and allow the Holy Spirit to reveal the depth of these promises to you. Here we see that if again in verse 9, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. In other words, you live in God. And that's something which is so hard for our natural mind to explain. So it's hard for me to explain it on an intellectual level, but you know what it means? It just means I learn to find my identity in Christ. It means I learn that before I vent anywhere else, I vent with God. Before I make a decision, I first take time out and I talk to God about it. Before I head into a direction, I just first put the map before Christ and say, God, I just want to make sure, is this the map that you gave me? The spot I'm going, the road I'm going to take on, is that from you? It's just that place where we learn to continually dwell in His presence. Doesn't mean we have quiet time all day, every day. It doesn't mean we have regular quiet time. There's pit stops in the day, just 5 or 10 minutes, just pause everything, just, God, am I still on track for today? Okay, great. Longer times in the mornings or the evenings, we close everything else and we just learn to live in God, dwell in God. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you. Nor shall any plague come near your dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Beautiful promises of God's protection and his hand upon us. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. This is God speaking. Because I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. And with long life I will satisfy him, show him my salvation. There's something so beautiful that comes to life when we learn to live in God, to dwell in God. Not only to visit him from time to time, not only to have a Bible on a bookshelf. I remember speaking to a precious girl and living in one of the residences on campus. Spoke to her because there was some demonic activity going on in the campus. And we started praying there, and then there was some weird stuff going on in the room and it was freaking her out. A beautiful girl. Grew up in a very traditional home. And I remember speaking to her one day, and was just stuff going on, weird things knocking on a door and opening the door, and she can't see them, but she can see them. It's not like people, it's just like the things in her room that's freaking her out. I remember one of the first conversations she says, when I go to bed, I even make sure my Bible's open on my desk. And so just a heart that's just seeking and understanding that there's something about God involved in this, but just no understanding of a spiritual dynamic. No understanding, it's not about having a Bible open in your desk, but it's having a Bible living in your heart. It's about having a Word of God, which is your sword in your hand, which you can wield, and that thing walks into your room and you look at it like Smith Wigglesworth did. The devil woke him up one day, was bouncing his bed across the room. He got up and he said, "Put it back." And he went back to bed. You know, a place of authority that we begin to walk in when we understand that it's not about a head knowledge as much as about an identity that I've got in Christ. Another night, Smith Wigglesworth apparently wakes up and there's the devil in his face trying to intimidate him. Don't know what he looks like, don't know what it looks like, but turns around and he sleeps further. And understanding that, you know, you can try and intimidate whatever you want, but there's something about my spirit which I know is dwelling in the presence of the living God. As much as Christ comes and lives inside of us, he invites us to live in him. John 15, abiding in the vine. Beautiful, beautiful verse in John 15, which is so good for us. Be people who like to have goals and vision and plan and running somewhere. At the bottom of all of that, just put this verse from John 15. Jesus speaking, without me, you can do nothing. Because you know what that means? Without him, you can do nothing. It doesn't mean without him, you can do some things reasonably well. It means without him, there's nothing you can do. Something I need to remind myself of so regularly, just stop and whoa, is God in this? That beautiful song we love singing, and if my God is for me, who can be against me? But if my God is for me, it's an important if. God, I'm running this, are you for me? I know you're for me as a person, but this thing, are you in this? Are we still on the same page here? Because God, the question so much isn't, are you for me? It's, am I for you? God, what are you doing? And am I fighting that which you're engaged with? Am I with you, God, on the page that you're on? It's not like I've got a page and I'm inviting Jesus onto my page. God's got a page and he's inviting us onto his page. Beautiful, beautiful promises for those who dwell in him, abide in the vine, and regularly just plug in and find that source of life. Dwelling in him speaks first and foremost about that quiet time, that place where we were alone with Christ. But there's another one. Psalm 27, verse 4 to 6. David, one thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek. Amazing, amazing prayer this from David. David says he's got all of this kingdom that he's got to lead. It's all of the stuff that he's busy with that he's meant to be doing. But there's only one thing that he really wants. He says here, one thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of his temple and of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me, and he shall set me high upon my rock. And my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle, and I will sing. Yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. I wonder how many of us, when we spoke about our dream house, the place that we'd love to live and dwell in, spoke about a house of God, a church. That's what David wanted. That's what David means when he says, I'd rather be a gatekeeper or doorkeeper in the house of God. I'd rather be outside there working in God's temple than dwell in tents with princes. I don't want to be in a big, fancy palace. I want to be there where God is. Doesn't matter what this house on the outside looks like as much as what's happening on the inside. You know, if we had this conversation with David, and you said, David, tell me your dream house, he'd say, there where Jesus is. That's my dream house. That's a place I want to be. Joshua, scripture isn't up there, but Moses and Joshua had this really, really amazing deal going. Moses had set up a tent outside of where the people of Israel would stay. And Moses would go in there and he'd meet with God. The cloud would descend, or the pillar of fire by night would descend upon that tent where Moses is. And in that tent, Moses and God would speak face to face. Like I'm speaking to you now, God would speak to Moses, and Moses would speak back. That just has to be the most incredible experience ever. When Moses comes out of that, his face is shining, and the people are all freaked out. Started first time when he went up on the mountain, as we spoke about the other day. He comes down. From then, he's got this veil in front of his face because the people are freaked out because his face is glowing every time he's been with God. And he goes and he relays the instruction that he receives from God. He relays to the people. You know, there's another beautiful verse in the midst of that. There's something along the lines of, and Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, did not depart from the tabernacle day or night. And where Joshua lived, you know where he grew up? In the presence of God. Do you know where he dwelt? Do you know where his home was? Moses was going, leading the people, telling the people what to do. You know where Joshua lived? There, in the presence of the living God. And that's the invitation I believe God's extending again to all of us, as he does over and over and over. God says, come and move in with me. Yes, one day in eternity, I'm preparing that mansion, that city, whatever it is that he's preparing for us. One day. But you know, today, you can move in with him. We can live with him. Not just live alongside him, but actually live in his house, live in him, in his being. And I'd ask us if we can stand this evening, because I want to pray with us to that. And maybe some of you, like me, your heart is saying, God, I know you, and there are aliens all over the place. God, I know you, and I love you, and I love being in your presence. But God, if I'm totally honest, I don't dwell in the secret place. I visit the secret place. From time to time, I come and I step aside from the busyness of life. And it's a beautiful time, but then maybe I even get it right for a couple of days, even weeks, and then life gets busy and life happens again. And then I find myself a couple of weeks down the line. And God, I've been touching base and checking in, but I haven't been dwelling. I haven't been living. I haven't been abiding. Maybe you're here and you're saying, what are you talking about, Philip? I have quiet time from 5 to 7 every morning, and then I wake up, then I go to work for an hour, and then I pray for another 3 hours. The rest of you must pray for us. The rest of us, we need to get this thing right. We need to learn to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. So I'm going to ask us just to bow our heads. Father, I want to thank you just for the incredible privilege of being able to minister here. Lord, the privilege of this evening being able to come and just settle down in your heart, Lord. Allow your heart to settle in our hearts. Just sit under your word for a couple of moments, Jesus. And you know, if that's you, you want to respond in any way, I'm not going to make a big altar call and call you forward, but just something that I've been saying tonight is just stirring in your heart, and tonight you want to say, God, I want to move in. God, I want to learn to dwell. God, I want to understand the secret place, God. If any of that is going on in your heart, just wherever you're standing, don't you just want to raise your hand? Just as a response to God, as I was saying just now, we're just responding. God, you want to pour out this incredible blessing, and we're just going to respond. Father, I want to thank you for every one of these raised hands. Lord, because you know the heart that it represents. Lord, as a people tonight, we want to come and say, we want to dwell with you, God. Lord, we don't want to get so busy with all the stuff that we're doing that we miss the whole point of it all. The point of knowing Jesus, to know you and the power of your resurrection. To dwell in the secret place of the Most High. And God, I pray that you would come and change that in our heart, Lord. We acknowledge tonight it's not about doing more, working more, God. As much as we want to be deliberate about this and diligent about this, God, we understand, God, that it's something that you need to shift within our hearts. And we pray, Jesus, that you come and do that this morning, this evening, God. Come and shift our hearts. Make our hearts hungry for you, God. Make our hearts love your presence, Lord. We just want to respond to that which you're doing, God, as you're drawing us, inviting us, Lord. We want to say, Jesus, I want to move in. I want to come and live with you. I want to come and dwell with you, Lord. Find that secret place, Lord, where as much as I love my husband or my wife, whoever it may be, God, they're not welcome. Because it's me and you, Jesus. God, will you come and stir that in our hearts? While our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, perhaps you're here this evening and you're saying, Philip, that's fantastic. I love to stay in that secret place of the Most High God, but if I'm totally honest, I don't even know him. Maybe you've heard about Jesus. Maybe you came with a friend. Maybe you've been to church many times, but you know there's just a void in your heart. You've never surrendered and allowed Jesus to come and wash and cleanse you. Tonight, we'd love to pray with you for that. Tonight, you want to give your life to Jesus, maybe for the first time, or maybe you followed him, and you've sort of drifted away from him, and tonight, you just want to come back to him. If there's anyone like that, I'm going to ask, don't you quickly want to raise your hand? I'd love to pray with you. Anyone tonight who wants to say, I want to give my life to Jesus, thank you for that hand. Anyone else tonight who's saying, Jesus, I want to move in with you, God. I want to get to know you. not just in a new way, but I've never actually met you. I want to grow with you. If there's anyone else, just quickly slip up your hand. We'd love to pray with you. Someone here is like there's a wrestling match going on in your heart right now. And the power to choose is in your hand. On one hand, there's God inviting you, saying, come on, I've got life and life in abundance stored up for you. On the other hand, there's an old self and a bunch of lies saying, you can't, you're not worthy, you're not able. But you've got the choice to choose to follow Christ. I want to ask one more time, if there's anyone else like that, just quickly slip up your hand. We'd love to pray with you. Thank you for those hands. You can ask those if you've raised your hands, don't you want to come and stand right in the front here? I want to pray with you. Just step out from wherever you are and say, excuse me, sorry, I'm going to go get life from Jesus. Not that I'm Jesus, but we just want to pray with you. We're all clapping because we're so excited. You know, the Bible says that we don't know kind of what happens too much in heaven when the rest of the stuff's going on down on earth. But we know one thing, that when this is happening, Scripture says there's joy in heaven. And that's just beginning to resonate in our hearts a little bit because we're so excited about all that God wants to do with you. Before we pray with the two of them, is there anyone else who's standing there and you're saying, man, I wish I was in front. I just didn't quite have the guts. But you actually want to be in front. Is anyone else will wait for you? Anybody else? I'm going to ask us, it's going to lead you in a simple prayer. I'm going to ask everyone else to pray with us. We're going to pray a really simple but a really powerful prayer. We just invite Jesus to come and live with us. As much as we want to live with him, just to say, Jesus, come and live in my heart. I think you know you're a sinful person. I think no one needs to tell you that. Just ask him to come and wash and cleanse all of that away. Can we pray that? Is that okay? Great. I'm going to ask you just to pray out loud, and everyone else is going to pray with us as we pray together. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for this evening. Because I know this evening, my life has changed. I can never be the same again. And Jesus, I don't want to be the same again. Right now, I want to invite you to come and live with me. Come and live inside of me, Jesus. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I've messed up so many times. And you're the Son of the living God. Thank you that you chose to die so that I can live. And right now, I accept that. Come and wash me. Cleanse me, purify me, because I want to get to know you. I pray that you take my hand and lead me in the life you have prepared. I want to follow you. Thank you that I'm your child and that you promise you will never, ever leave me. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
You move mountains when you speak. You give power to the weak. You raise dead men to their feet. You are strong, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.